Welcome to AI Safe and Sound, an expert podcast series from Munich Re. Together with various players from the AI industry, it explores AI's potential, provides inspiring perspectives on the technology, as well as challenges involved and how to overcome them.
Who is responsible when an AI model makes a mistake? There has rarely been so much hype about a technology since generative AI burst onto the scene, and following closely behind stories about company chatbots being prompted by users to sell cars for $1 or generating false bereavement policies that mislead passengers and cost them a lot of money. Chatbots are hardly new, but the profound business application of other large language models, and indeed many other AI models in general, means not only efficiency gains and improved processes, but also that more end users can be seriously affected when a model makes a mistake. So today we'll talk about who should ultimately be liable for these unexpected or undesired outputs of AI models. Welcome back to AI Safe and Sound. I'm your host, Alexandra Matthews. And so far on this podcast, we've talked a lot about the many rewards that come with implementing AI. And now, the other side of the coin, assigning liability, so here, legal responsibility, to people or to companies when these models make mistakes or cause harm, it can have serious consequences for businesses. But nonetheless, it's an important task to truly compensate users or third parties who might actually suffer these harms. And so to help guide us on how to strike this very delicate balance, we have Avi Gesser here today to discuss the sources of and mitigation strategies for AI-caused liabilities. Avi is a partner and co-chair of the Cybersecurity, Privacy, and Artificial Intelligence Practice Group at Debra Voice & Plimpton, which is a very prominent US law firm. So welcome, Avi.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here. I used to be a fraud prosecutor with the United States Department of Justice. But over the last several years, our AI group at Debra Voice has worked with financial services companies, private equity firms, hedge funds, technology companies, media organizations, and several insurance companies on navigating the legal risks associated with the adoption of AI, essentially helping them create the governance that they need to separate high-value, low-risk use cases from low-value, high-risk use cases. And the risks include legal liability. And so I'm looking forward to discussing those issues and some of our insights from our work here today.
Thank you. And on the other side of the pond in Europe, we also have Ina Ebert joining us. She's a leading expert on liability at Munich Re and has significant experience on sort of the dynamics of European liability regimes.
Hello, and a warm welcome from me as well. My job is to monitor legal aspects of emerging risks at Munich Re. Besides that, I'm a professor for civil law at the University of Kiel in Germany. From both perspectives, liability issues regarding AI are a very timely topic, especially in Europe, now that the AI Act and the product liability reform are on their way. We are currently in a transition period. This raises many questions like, what does the new regulation mean for AI? What more has to be done? How do other jurisdictions deal with these issues? We're very much looking forward to discussing this with you.
Well, thank you both for being here. I think it's interesting that both of you talked already about the emerging risks in business applications of AI. And I guess what you mean is a range of scenarios from machine learning models that might underperform in their decision-making function, models that make the expected decision that the right sort of output, but actually cause a negative externality to third parties, or generative AI models that produce unexpected or undesired outputs, such as infringing on people's rights, their copyrights, having some sort of hallucinations. Neither machine learning models underperforming or generative models delivering undesirable results are new risks. These technologies have been around for quite some time. So Ina, what's different now that we're seeing heightened discussion on the role of governmental, regulatory, or judicial bodies to impose some sort of liability for these applications? Is it that liabilities are stemming from a new type of harm?
First of all, AI risks are not really a new type of harm. AI applications can cause any kind of traditional loss, ranging from bodily injury and property losses to data leaks, discrimination, intellectual property violations, or pure financial loss. This very much depends on the AI application. However, when using AI, the risk that any malfunctioning affects not just one, but many third parties is a lot higher. Basically, if you allow the use of AI, you have a lot to gain, but you also have to deal with many uncertainties that might severely affect others. Therefore, the old, well-established standards of liability might not always lead to the best possible result. Having said this, of course, you do not automatically need a new liability regime just because you deal with a new technology. Liability law has been around for hundreds of years. It is very flexible. Liability for someone else's intelligence, or lack thereof, is also not new. There has always been liability for acts of your employees, children, or pets. As we all know, none of these only learn what they are supposed to or act only as they are supposed to. However, with AI, some amendments to the liability regime seem advisable. How much change is necessary differs significantly between jurisdictions and the level of risk involved. Just one example. If the keeper of a car is strictly liable for motor accidents caused by it, like for instance in Europe, the liability regime is fit for purpose when it comes to autonomous vehicles. If you only have fault-based liability of the drivers involved, as for instance in the US, things are different.
Avi, are you seeing a similar treatment of AI risks and technology in the US?
It's hard to talk about AI risks and technologies as a whole in the US because there's just so many potential risks that result. So it could be, depending on the use case and the tool and the data being used and the user and the jurisdiction, you have cybersecurity risk, privacy risk, intellectual property risk, bias risk, lack of transparency, quality control, automated decision-making, fraud, breach of confidentiality, contractual use limitations. So you know, each one has its own separate liability system, although, as you pointed out, I mean, none of these are necessarily new. But there is a difference, I think, between Europe and the US, where civil liability is a concern of the US companies who are adopting AI, but there's been relatively few AI-related civil cases to date, other than the copyright cases, which are generally brought against the generative AI providers, not the users. And it's not really clear yet how the civil liability case law will develop, but it's likely to be shaped by the growing regulatory liability risk, of which there is a lot in the US. And so while Europe has taken a comprehensive approach to regulating AI technologies with the EU AI Act, the US has adopted a more fragmented approach, which is largely sectorial, carried out by the various agencies with specific authority in their area. So banking, insurance, securities markets, employment, all of which are developing their own separate liability regimes. And unlike the EUA Act, this approach has relied largely on existing regulatory authority with some developments in insurance and hiring. But you know, the place we are seeing a lot of liability developing is in fraud with respect to AI. So this is referred to as AI washing. So if a company claims they've developed some absolutely state-of-the-art AI quantitative finance tool for making investment decisions, and they say it's built with the top leaders in AI, but it's actually just me, you know, asking ChatGPT what's a good investment. So that company would face traditional fraud liability for overstating their AI. And the U.S. Federal Trade Commission and the SEC have both said they're very interested in this issue. And the SEC actually just brought two separate enforcement actions against companies that made misleading statements about their AI. And that's likely to lead to the kinds of shareholder class actions and other fraud claims that we saw in the dot-com era for companies that overstated, you know, what the internet could do for them. And so I think fraud is a place where we're going to see a lot of development in the liability side of AI in the US.
Okay, so it seems like businesses adopting AI or claiming to adopt AI have a lot to be mindful of, but the kind of consensus is that the source of liability is pretty well established in existing regulations. So I guess the next step is understanding really on whose shoulders this concept of liability or responsibility will fall and how to prove it, essentially. Because, of course, as many of us know, you can't see how a model comes to a decision. The parameters might be buried so deeply in a model that you couldn't identify what was sort of given enough weight to make the decision. And even if we have a clear concept of what the liability regime in general looks like, Avi, how does an individual or a corporation utilize these liability regimes or respond to these liability regimes to show that they've suffered a loss from an AI decision?
So there's a couple of layers there in terms of what you know about the AI. So let's take, for example, a job related AI tool. So I apply for a position, I submit my resume to a company, the company uses an AI tool to screen my resume and makes a determination that I shouldn't receive an interview and there's no human involved there. First of all, I don't know that that happened often, so I'm unlikely to challenge the AI's decision. All I know is I thought I should get an interview based on my resume. I didn't get one. And so a lot of the regulations are focused first on just the disclosure of the fact that AI is involved in the decision-making for certain kind of decisions like hiring and lending and insurance underwriting, educational decisions, so that people at least know if they don't like the result, it might be because the AI behaved in a way that they didn't anticipate, and so they can challenge it. But then the next question is, was the AI solely responsible for the decision? That it can also violate some rules for certain kinds of decisions where there has to be a human in the loop to make the final approval of the decision. And then there are regulations that look at whether you are told what factors go into the decision. What was the decision that the tool made? How did it reach its decision? Do you need to know that it relied on these factors? Some of the AI is, you know, referred to as black box. You don't know how the decision was made. There are certain kinds of decisions where you need to be able to explain the decision. You need to be able to explain what factors went into the decision. There are certain kinds of inputs that maybe you shouldn't be allowed to use. So for hiring, you might not be able to have the machine consider my name or where I live or certain other factors that could lead to a biased result. And so really, in terms of how do you know what to do when you feel like a decision that an AI made was against your interests in some way that perhaps creates liability, the first issue is transparency about the use of the tool, how it makes its decision, who else was involved in the decision, so that you at least have the information you need to decide whether to bring an action. And that's where the new UAI law out of Utah focuses on, and some other laws, which is sort of transparency about the AI decision-making.
Ina, do you think that this prioritization of transparency and the reversal of the burden of proof from an injured party to the defendant functions similarly in Europe? Do you think that these reworkings of existing tools is actually sufficient to achieve the goal of protecting people from harm?
Well, as Avi and Alex have rightfully pointed out, AI applications are in many ways like a black box. And this, of course, is the same in Europe. A lot of transparency issues, a high level of complexity. It is very difficult for a claim to show what went wrong. Liability regimes have mainly three ways to overcome such challenges. The most extreme is to implement strict liability. A slightly milder approach is a shift in the burden of proof. The third option is to intensify duties of the potentially liable actor in regard to documentation and discovery. For regulators, this is connected with a serious dilemma. On the one side, you want to make sure consumers are fully compensated. On the other side, you want to stay internationally competitive when it comes to developing and using AI. If bringing liability claims is too easy, the resulting expense discourages innovation. If it is too difficult, many consumers will not get compensated, even though their claims are perfectly valid. In regard to these issues, the EU has chosen a level of risk-specific approach instead of the sector-specific approach in the US. Let's take product liability as an example. Depending on the level of risk and complexity, a number of rebuttable presumptions have been introduced, especially regarding causation. On top of this, duties to disclose loss-relevant information have been added to the traditional liability regime.
That's interesting you talk about compensation, because I guess an AI can't really bear responsibility for itself. It cannot pay its own legal bill. So which person in the development or the application process should ultimately be held responsible for the AI decisions or the losses? Avi, would you say it's more on the developer of the AI or the company who has bought the model and is using it? Does it come down to essentially a question of control?
So this is a very complicated question that's being worked out. So let's take my hiring tool for an example. And I should have got an interview, but I was denied an interview because I had a gap of a year on my resume, and the tool decided that a gap of a year is something that I should be penalized for, and it resulted in me not getting the interview. But the reason I had a gap on my resume is because I had an injury or a disability, and therefore that shouldn't have been something that the tool considered. So who should be liable for that? Well, the employer is the one who used the tool, but there's the software company who provided the tool to the employer, and then there may be the model designer that licensed their AI model to the software provider. And as you unpack all that, you might be asking, okay, well, who's the one who made the decision to put that variable into the tool, the one-year gap, which was inappropriate, and as between the model provider and the software provider and the employer, what are the contractual rights, what are the indemnity rights, and so forth. And so most of the U.S. regulation for now is focused on who do you as the user of the tool interact with, who may be harmed by the tool, so me, the employee, and puts the obligation on you to do the vendor management and so forth to make sure that as the provider of the service that could be, in this case, biased, what are you doing to make sure you've minimized that risk? And if you haven't, then the liability is on you. And then you maybe contractually need to deal with the model provider and the software provider. And which makes sense from my point of view, if I'm the injured person, I don't even know who the model provider is or the software provider is. All I know is I'm dealing with an employer who made a decision that I think, doesn't make sense. But that is a very complicated issue that I think we're seeing done now by contract, but I know in the EU and other places, the allocation as between the developer, the provider, the user, and so forth is still being worked out as a regulatory matter.
Okay, so it seems unfeasible then to attribute liability always to the same type of role. It could be a mix of either, but developer, user, or maybe both. And I guess more a business focus attribution, looking at the contracting parties, the relationship with the affected person, rather than ultimately control over the model. In all the declarations and executive orders that I've read so far on AI regulation, people seem to emphasize this need to balance consumer protection with innovation friendliness. And I think Ina also touched on this before. But beyond an adequate regulatory regime, companies should really be given the tools to manage risk effectively. So, Avi, what are some things that corporates could do if they've developed an AI model from scratch or they're fine-tuning a third-party model for their own use to not accumulate more risk than what's unavoidable?
So I would say spend a lot of time testing use cases before putting them into production at scale. We've seen a lot of use cases where people find out things in sandboxes and in pilots that allow them to make adjustments before they really deploy the tool in a way that could cause lots of harm. Focus on use cases that are really worth the effort. If you're already doing something pretty well, the promise that generative AI will do the same thing a little quicker may not be worth the downside risks. I'd look for things that the AI does that you're not doing well or you're not doing at all. And where possible, use AI tools that are designed for the specific purpose they're being used for, as opposed to taking some tool that is not designed for a specific purpose and being the first person to use it for that, which tends to increase risk. Also, before using generative AI to solve a problem, I'd consider whether the problem can be solved using either traditional AI or more simple algorithms, automation tools, which tend to have lower costs and lower risks. A pitfall we commonly see is that people rush to use generative AI because they want to use it and not because they are focused on solving a very specific problem. So, you know, if I were to successfully train my cat to draft a legal brief, you know, people would be really excited about that. And generative AI is a little bit like that in some ways. The excitement is that it can do something. And so if my cat could draft a brief, right, everyone would be interested in investing in my cat, talking to my cat, having other people train their cats to draft briefs. But there's a limit to the value of that. I can't interrogate my cat as to why he made certain choices. I can't bring my cat to court with me to make the argument, or if I did, it wouldn't be very effective. And so you want to think to yourself, okay, this is cool that it can do these things, but what problem am I solving? It's not as though, you know, the problem was my cat couldn't draft a brief and now my cat can draft a brief, right? And so I already have people who can draft quite good briefs. And I think that's like the right way to think about it. Like what are we really solving, and is the solution worth it, or are we creating new risks with the solution that we didn't really need? And so governance is really important for that, to be able to really test use cases, know where you're using AI, know that it's worth the risks, and make sure the right people are looking at the risks that are associated with the particular AI application, and either getting comfortable with the risks, mitigating the risks, or saying the risks are too high and saying, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's really valuable input, I think, for companies deciding whether or not to adopt AI and how to realize the return on investment in that technology. For companies who've already implemented AI, can they look to other parties to support this risk management? I'd like to hear both your thoughts on this. Avi, let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think best practices for risk management should just be applied to AI, and sort of normal governance areas are very helpful in reducing risk. So board and senior management oversight, having policies and procedures. I mentioned sandboxing, training, monitoring, third-party risk management, internal audit, insurance. These are all sort of traditional risk management tools and controls that work in other areas that will reduce risk in AI as well.
Ina, in your line of business, have you seen some risk management tools for AI models?
Well, as Avi already mentioned, when it comes to enabling the development of new potentially dangerous technologies, insurance obviously plays an important role. Insurance coverage secures compensation of those that might suffer a loss. Insurance does help to enhance the trustworthiness of the new technology. By taking on a part of the financial risk involved with a new technology, insurance also promotes innovation, especially for players with lots of deep pockets. Regarding AI, traditional insurance products can deal adequately with many loss scenarios. Motor insurance with autonomous vehicles, employers' liability or workers' compensation with accidents and smart factories, medical malpractice with AI applications in healthcare, EPLI with discrimination in the employment context. However, mandatory insurance is usually, and rightfully, limited to a few high-risk technologies that can potentially cause severe losses. Pure financial losses caused by AI, however, might not always be covered by a traditional liability policy.
I would think most companies are probably not operating in this really high-risk space and don't consider themselves tech companies, so it seems like they might be better served by taking out insurance that specifically covers their AI use case and the losses that might arise from underperformance or unexpected output of this AI, whether that's contractual or legal liabilities. I know Munich Re provides affirmative cover for AI risks. That might be something for corporates to explore when implementing AI in their business functions to support some decision-making process, especially if they're worried that this AI might cause a loss either to themselves or to third parties, and they want to protect themselves against possible legal action, customer churn, or any financial losses, really. Ultimately, risk and reward do go together. As more people are affected by AI-made decisions, lawmakers will designate responsibility on parties when that decision causes harm. Ina, Avi, thank you both so much for helping our listeners to navigate this pretty difficult landscape today.
Thanks for having me. It's been great, and I really enjoyed talking with both of you.
My pleasure. Goodbye, and thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to AI Safe and Sound. If you want to learn more about the work that Avi and Ina are doing, we've linked some more information in the show notes of today's episode. I hope you'll join me for the next episode of AI Safe and Sound.